Hey, this is Jeff Floyd, pastor of C3 Church Bathurst, and this is our podcast. Thank you for joining us today. C3 Bathurst brings life to people by helping them to be revived, restored, and released through getting to know Jesus and his people. We hope that this message will bring you life today.
I wonder what it's like to be timeless. Imagine God, who lives outside of time, having complete time. Have you ever been in that space? Maybe it's the start of a holiday and 2 weeks on a beach stretches out before you in Queensland. Imagine that. Imagine going to Queensland. Have you ever had those moments where you think, no responsibilities, a beach, a book, swimming pool, whatever is your hobby, your passion, and time. I wonder, is that how God views it? Just time. Because he steps outside of time. He's not just a time traveler, he made time. And so he's got all the time in the world because it's his. Time is an earthly construct for us. But can you imagine Jesus, who is God, stepping out of timeless, maybe it's packed from holiday, back into the cut and thrust of life? Can you imagine that? Imagine Jesus growing up thinking, oh, now I'm bound by things like day and night and summer and winter and seasons and years, and people get old and they die and all these things that are so foreign to heaven and the pressures of how we do time well. And it's so curious, isn't it? I think of all the things that we think about, time is right up there with the pressures of life. It's like money and relationships and time are probably the big three of the things that consume us or keep us awake at night, keep us kind of thinking and pondering all these things. Time is one of those pressures in life, and it's so easy to feel guilty about the time we do or we don't spend with this person or that thing, or guilt and pressure, sometimes condemnation. Do you ever feel those things? You know, and we always say, if only I had more time. Well, I reckon it's like the car boot theory. If you have a bigger car, guess what you put in it? More stuff. I think it's like the cupboard theory. You know, you've got a storage cupboard at home. It's great to have big cupboards, isn't it? But you just tend to put stuff in it. I wonder what that'd be like. What would it if you had an extra day a week? Somehow you found the eighth day we've all been looking for. I wonder what you'd do with it. But well, here's what we typically do with our time. This is American data, the best and most up-to-date I could find. But sleeping, we spend 8 hours and 48 minutes a day either sleeping or trying to get to sleep on average. On average. There must be some long hour sleepers in there. Working. This is, 3 hours and 36 minutes. That's kind of averaged out over, people who don't work and holidays and whatever. But we spend a significant chunk of our life at work, don't we? Watching TV and screens. Almost 3 hours of screen time a day on average in the US. I'm sure it's different here. Other leisure and sport activities, an hour, 32 minutes. Is that your typical time? Eating and drinking, 1 hour and 11 minutes a day, just eating food and, sharing meals with people around you. Personal care activities. I guess that includes the shower time. Doing a hair, makeup, some more than others, of course. Yes, showers, dream time. Socialization and communication, 39 minutes. I mean, some people that, how can I get by with that? Only 39 minutes a day on socialization. For other people, that's torture. But when you think about, would you, if you had a spare day, would you fit that in? How does your day compare with that sort of average? Does it match up? You know, where are you more time poor than others? Where do you invest more time than other people? And of course, there's all the others, you know, food preparation, housework, educational activities, shopping, sporting, helping and caring for others, caring for the lawn and garden 11 minutes a day. Yes. If you've got any free time, come to my house. I've got, now that it's raining, the lawn grows. But here's the thing. So many of us carry so much either regret or fear or judgment or condemnation about time because it's one of those precious commodities that we can never get back. And it could be easy just to prioritize things. And a message about time management could be very simple. You know, work out where your priorities are, put them in first, and then fill everything around it. But it doesn't answer the question of the motivation. Because it's really more about why you do things than what you do. One person's day, like we just saw, could be completely different to another person's day. But it's really about the why. Why are you spending time on things? Why are you investing time that I think God looks at and cares about? More than the what. We get carried away with the practicalities and the what. God looks at the heart and the motivation. So I want to explore how Jesus dealt with time management. Again, because Jesus has stepped into time from a complete out-of-time space experience. And he did something amazing. And I see in Jesus' use of time the same Bible verse we've been looking at all month, which is Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And again, the passage is about worry, what we do with our time and money and how we dress ourselves, etc. Jesus found something. Because Jesus managed the most important role in the universe. Like Jesus' mission on earth was the most significant job in the world ever. Right? More important than any person alive today, more important than any emperor or king or ruler, more important than anything you've ever done. Jesus' life work and life mission was the most important. Yet, it took him 3 years to accomplish it. Pre-internet, pre-mobile phone, pre-cars, aeroplanes. He did it all without any of that in just 3 years. While being a human, before you jump to, yeah, but he was God. He was a human, a person, a man. How awesome is that? So if you were given the most important job in the world and just 3 years to accomplish it, how would you feel? Would you go crazy? How would your schedule look? Where would you be traveling? What would you be doing? How would you be planning, studying? Was Jesus frantically racing around, achieving all these big, bold things? I think about this. I know I'm a little weird, but I just wonder how he would have felt that pressure. So here's three things. From the most important person in the world, having the most important job in the world, three things that he managed to do to keep himself time rich while seeking God's kingdom first. First thing is all about mission. Jesus' life was governed by his mission. Mission is like the railway tracks that flow through your life. It's the default, what am I doing, where am I going kind of thing in your world. That's mission. Now, mission is all about the why. It's your purpose. Why are you doing what you're doing? And this is what Jesus constantly talked about. For example, in Luke 4:43, he was having an incredible ministry experience in Luke 4. People getting healed of all kinds of diseases, leprosy, people getting fed, all sorts of things are happening. And Jesus says this when his friends say, can you stick around for a bit longer? He says, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose. Can you see purpose right there? Purpose being front and center of what he did. He's got a very, very clear understanding of his purpose in life. And that drives him. So it's like that train on a railway track. It doesn't need to wonder, do I need to go left or the right? It takes him somewhere. It takes him on purpose. He knew his purpose. He was very clear about this. He couldn't just get stuck in one place. No, he said, I must preach to other towns. And so he'd go from town to town and he'd have this multitude of people following him as he went from town to town. And didn't travel very far, actually. Really, it was only between North and South Israel. And that was it. No global travel back then either. In Luke 9, it similar kind of idea, when the days drew near for him to be taken up, when it was nearing his death, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. What about you when you're facing that obstacle, that big thing? Are you completely committed to the cause? Jesus was, driven by a purpose. People around him going, oh, Jesus, you know, that's not going to happen to you. You know, don't go to Jerusalem. He's going, I am going to Jerusalem. I know what's going to happen there. Completely driven by his core purpose and mission. So it begs the question, doesn't it? What is our core mission? What is our core purpose? What am I here for? That needs to determine how you spend your time. And in the cut and thrust of life, it's so easy to think that the things that are in front of me aren't that important. I fall into this trap a lot. Are the people around you? That's 90% of your core purpose right now. The job that you do in God's sovereignty, if you're working, you're in that job. If you're in this city, you're in this neighborhood, you're in this family, you know, just you are positioned here right now, not by accident. It's because there's some great scriptures I can share with you later on. But you are here for a reason and a purpose right now in the family you have, in the place that you live, in the job that you have. That's 90% of your core purpose. So don't regret going to work or tending to a need at home or fixing something. It's all part of core purpose. Sometimes in our Christian experience, we go, these are the God things. And then I've just got life. You know, ever thought that? Like going to church and serving on a team and, you know, cooking something for my neighbor, they're all God things. But now I've got to look after my own family. And I guess that's just normal life. That's core purpose right there. And if you understand that just being in that space and loving your family and doing a good job, and Rose spoke last week from Colossians 3:23, that whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. Work is good. It's a God-given gift. Don't regret the days you spend at work, because that's part of our call. It's part of our purpose and mission. It may not be quite as grand as Jesus, but it's still what God's given us to do. And so we work at it with all our heart and spend time on that. Second thing is around his Father's voice. So the first thing sort of narrows down on Jesus. It's his core purpose, the default, the things that he gives himself to. But Jesus is quite interruptible. Even though he's got a big schedule, big job to do, there's two things that take him different places. One is his Father's voice. Now, Jesus was safe. He knew completely that God loved him. He had this incredible relationship with his Father. And so his entire life was spent pleasing his Father because he knew it was safe. It wasn't like he was dominated by his Father. You must go, son, and save the planet. No, he wanted to. Like, they're working together. They're completely this incredible relationship of trust and unity. But Jesus, as he's walking around doing his purpose, he's got one ear on his Father's voice. Here, John 14:31. I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here. He's talking to his friends about why he does the things he does. He says, rise, let's go. Because I'm listening to my Father's voice.
John 8, 29, he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. I wonder if that's your experience. I had this experience when I was when I first came to know Jesus. It was in my early 20s, and my good friend of mine back then had to drive a car to Queensland from Sydney. I was living in Sydney at the time, to Queensland. And he said, "Jeff, can you come and drive this car so I can deliver it and then we can drive in my car home again?" Young, not much to do. So I said, "Right, let's go." And he said, "Oh, and by the way, here's the car. It's a Datsun 120Y. If you've ever experienced in the 70s, a Datsun 120Y, probably not the best choice of car to drive to Queensland. It was pretty loud and pretty horrible. It was a two-speed automatic. It was buzzing. And I got to Brisbane buzzing, you know, glad to get out of this thing. And my mate said, "Hey, I'm just going to be delivering this car, sorting this stuff out. You've got a spare day in Brisbane." I said, "Great, good, good. I've got a free day. What do I do in Brisbane?" Now, I'd just been having this great time with God, getting to know him, understanding his voice. And I said to God, "If I just walk around Brisbane, can you just tell me where you want me to go? And we'll have this fun day where I'm just walking around Brisbane and you tell me where to go." Yeah. Because I just read this verse, right, in Isaiah 30. It says, "And your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, when you turn to the right or when you turn to the left." So, God, if that's true, tell me where to go on this day. I know it's funny, but I had the best day. I really did. And I remember walking around all over Brisbane, just walking with God. It really was that, not weird, but it was just a really special day. And I remember walking through South Bank, you might know that area on the river, and just walking right, then left. And then I came out. I couldn't believe it. There was a mate of mine, Roger, who I hadn't seen for a number of years. I said, "Mate, how come you're here?" So I just happened to be by chance. And we had the best conversation about the things of God and just what we're doing. And it taught me from that day just to walk with half an ear on God. Just keep your ears tuned for that little voice that says, "Hey, Jeff, this person. Hey, why don't you go over here?" And I see that in Jesus, just that sense of where I'm going to go, despite having your core purpose fixed and all that, but being safe in God's direction, knowing that the places he's going to lead you are good. Have a shot one day. The third thing I see that's driving Jesus' use of time is his compassion, his heart. This is the other thing that interrupts him. Right? One is his father's voice that says, "Go here or go there." The other is his compassion. In Matthew 14, verse 14, he went ashore and saw a great crowd and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Jesus was constantly time poor. Like he really would. He'd go overnight and rest somewhere or try to rest. He'd try to escape all the crowds. But the crowds were smart. You know, he'd kind of jump across the lake. The crowds go, "I reckon he's going to this town." So they'd run around the lake. And by the time he got over there, they were there waiting for him. "Hey, Jesus." But I don't see anywhere in the scripture where he says, "Oh, send the crowds away." His friends wanted him to send the crowds away. Because actually, look at this. He had compassion on them and healed their sick. When he was feeding the 5,000, it says he had compassion on them and fed them. His compassion moved him to action, interrupted his precious schedule. Now, if the God of the universe and the one with the most important job in the universe can be interrupted, probably we can be too. Probably we're hyper-scheduled. I know I am. You should see my diary.
I just wonder what it would be like to be moved by compassion. Just let God's heart move you somewhere. Be drawn into something. Even if God's not telling you to do it, just go, you know what, I could make a difference to this person right now and step into that zone. It would mess with our time management, but it would give us such a freedom and a life because we know that God is love. He loves us dearly, and therefore his love is going to flow through us to the people around us. It's like it expresses in Psalm 143, verse 8. Let me hear in the morning of your steadfast love, for in you I trust. It's like every morning, if we could just come to God, get refreshed by his steadfast love, not out of duty, but because I have to, but I want to spend time with God and just hear of his steadfast love. And it says, make me known the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. How simple would that be to live like that? Come to God with steadfast love. And then he says, I'm going to make me know the way I should go. Get a little direction for the day. And I know we've got to go to work, got to feed the kids, got to do the washing, mow the lawn. And it's just life, isn't it? And sometimes that life stuff gets menial and we wrestle with the meaning and purpose of that stuff. But I'm telling you, it's all part of it. It's okay. Don't be filled with regret because we've got to do the stuff of life. But in the middle of that, I reckon there's room just to hear the voice of God about being compassionate towards someone or going somewhere or doing something. And I also think that there's a little bit of room. There's an itch and an ache in all of us for some kind of engagement in the kingdom of God. It doesn't mean that the mundane things of life are not part of God's plan for our life. Absolutely they are. But there's an itch and an ache just to be involved in kingdom ministry, whether that's just serving and blessing a neighbor, making a meal for them, praying for someone. It might be, you know, serving on a team at church or youth and kids. You know, you guys are raising up a team and it's engaging and it's fun and we've got to leave room in our lives for those things just to make sure that there's time. And it's all part of seeking first God's kingdom. And you'll find that makes sense of all the other bits when you're engaged like that. But here's one final thought as we finish off. In Romans 14, it's about choosing to be happy in the choices you make. It's a great passage, Romans 14. It talks about the comparison game and how some people compare themselves, oh, that's more religious or that's more religious or that should be right. But Paul says, look, none of that. He says, the faith which you have as your own conviction before God. So the things you choose to do and the time you choose to invest, have that as your own conviction. Don't let other people drive that decision. And don't compare, look at what this person's doing and what I can't do. But then there's this incredible little statement that I've just had in my mind for so long. It says, happy is he who doesn't condemn himself in what he approves. Think about that in relation to time. Happy are you when you don't condemn yourself by what you choose to do. When you've chosen to invest time in a person, maybe you've gone out of your way to do something and then you get home and it's all hit the fan because you're late and you got to cook dinner and you go, oh, I really shouldn't have. I knew that would happen. I knew I'd be late. And that's self-condemnation, isn't it? You're going against the choices that you've made in your own heart, even though you've invested the time. So what you got to do is you got to do things, spend time on things and then tick it off and be happy that you've done that. Happy is he who doesn't condemn himself on what he approves. It might have implications for the fact that you're late to something else. But Jesus was happy with that. He let himself be interrupted, but yet stuck on his core mission. I didn't see anywhere in the scriptures, oh, I just shouldn't have spent time with Bartimaeus. Oh, that was a time waster. Imagine that, kicking himself. Oh, God, compassion again. It's ruined my ministry. Stop me from, I should have been there last month and now the cross is not going to happen. You just live with it. Live with the choices you make. Invest in the things around you. Don't get guilty and condemned around the choices and the things that you spend time on. But keep them kingdom focused. Keep them full of the faith, hope, and love of God. And you'll find yourself actually with an abundant amount of time. I know it sounds weird. But when you seek God's kingdom first, it frees you up not to be so concerned by the things that other people care about. Like all these possessions. You can chase after all kinds of fancy things. I just learned not to get too sidetracked on lots of stuff, you know. Just live, and it actually saves you a whole lot of time when you don't have to deal with a whole lot of stuff. Just live simply and lightly, and you'll find yourself with heaps of time. Amen. Let me pray. Lord Jesus.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. We'd love to get to know you better. Come and visit us at one of our Sunday services in Bathurst, rear of 217 Howard Street. Have a week filled with life.